One song called Payo by a group that calls themselves Tu Pathan. I kid you not. I kid you not. It's one of these songs. Thane's in the studio here. We getting ready for practical finance, and yeah, it's one of those songs that I'm sure the guys wrote in 10 minutes around a couple of drinks over a fire or something.
Yeah, and I don't want to say that name of that band too quickly.
No, that's why I said it slowly. But Thane, very good morning. Welcome. It's time for Practical Finance.
Yes, good morning. Good to be back after a sabbatical, as it were, Wayne. Yeah. And so, yeah, let's looking forward to it.
And today we're talking about your money misbehaving. Now, you know, I don't know if that's classified as running out of your bank account right after it goes into your bank account. Is that misbehaving, or tell us about money misbehaving?
Yeah, excellent. So, just as our normal disclaimer, although I am an authorized financial services provider, what you're about to hear is information, mm-hmm. not necessarily the opinion of management, and it's purely for you to take in and discuss with your financial professional.
Your own professional, who knows your own situation.
Exactly. So it's a talk. It's a chat, you know. So, you know, we talk about children behaving badly, yeah. you know, and throwing tantrums. And it got me thinking, you know, in the current economic climate where we're living at the moment, things are tough. So your money tends to want to behave badly, you know. And when your money behaves or misbehaves, it has serious personal consequences. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of the trauma that people go through around money, which can result in divorces.
Mm-hmm. Or even death.
Suicide.
In extreme cases, you hear sad stories.
Correct. You know, so you're 100% right there. It's got extreme consequences, you know. And also, just like, I suppose, members of the community, if your money is in the wrong place, it mixes with the wrong money.
It also has
negative consequences. It might not be working enough for you in the place that it is. And of course, you know, if your money misbehaves, you might end up with a poor credit rating. And then if you want to buy that house or that car, or maybe even get a cell phone contract, you can't, because the powers that be in the credit bureau say, wow, this man's money or this woman's money has misbehaved so badly.
It's been bad money.
Yes. So we can't take a chance, you know. Who knows? Maybe we give this guy the contract or this lady the contract or give her the bond to buy the house, and then she throws a tantrum and then the money's gone and then there's no bond repayment that month.
Yeah, and then bad money,
yeah. So, in fairness, it's not the money that's bad, and it's how we use it. And I think maybe, Wayne, for the next 2 or 3 maybe episodes of Practical Finance, we can just chat about correcting that money behavior that is not so good.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we start, I suppose, is the first question, you know. And I think from a financial perspective, I think it's important to realize that as a consultant, when I'm talking to my clients or as an advisor, I must be aware that the client is the client and not the money. The money is a consequence. So you've got to understand and know your client. And so the way I suggest you do this with your financial professional is go through not only are you a conservative, moderate, aggressive investor? Go through what we call a financial risk tolerance questionnaire. Understand where you are with financial risk. And if you're married or have a partner, I would suggest that you both go through that type of exercise, because it helps your financial professional. It'll help you understand what kind of a person you are and why you act like you do act as far as money matters is concerned. So know yourself, you know, know what your circumstances are. So if you don't know where you're at, how do you know how you're going to get to where you're going?
Yes, yes.
So how do you do that? Well, it's quite straightforward. Sometimes it's not pleasant, but I believe you need to sit down with a sheet of paper, write down all your assets, all your liabilities. And what happens then is if you subtract the liabilities from the assets, you're going to get what we call your net value. Now, that is your starting point. So your net value might be a negative. It might be a positive. It might be an extreme positive. But at least you know where you're at. And your goal is to improve that net asset value. Then, of course, you've got to do another exercise. And that is your income, and I see you smiling, versus your expenses. So why we're smiling is because a lot of us don't do that.
That's budgets as well.
That's exactly where I'm going to. Yeah, so your money behaves well, as you said, but it comes straight into your bank account. It doesn't behave so well if the next day it's gone.
Yeah.
So how do you correct that, or how do you address that situation where the money runs out before the month end arrives for the next paycheck? Well, it's called a budget. And you put your number down that you get in after tax, preferably, because most of us work with monies after tax. And then you take your last 3 months' bank statements, or your credit card statements, or both, or your receipts if you're working with cash, and you write down every single expense that you've incurred. But of course, you can group them together.
Yeah,
you know, like the traditional groupings would be telephone, fuel, motor vehicle installments. If you've got a car, bond installments. If you've got an overdraft, don't forget the interest you pay to the bank. And so you detail it as much as possible for the month. And then you add the 3 months together, and then you get a really good average of where you're at. There's another sort of tag to this that we'd like to add, but I'll come back to that. So for now and for today, I think it would be great if we could know your client, know your circumstances, know where you're going, know your net asset value, know your income and expenses. Once you know what your expenses are, now we've got the first step to fixing that misbehaving money.
And something with knowing your expenses and how your month pretty much works is sometimes there are hidden expenses that you don't realize, you know, that those trips to the supermarket for bread and milk, that maybe it seems incidental every time you do it, but at the end of the month, that's added up to a good couple of hundred, if not thousands of rands.
Fantastic.
And that kind of nibbles into your budget, and you say, but there's a hole in my budget, but where is it, you know?
Fantastic comment, Wayne. Fantastic comment, because often you'll talk to somebody and they'll say, but I only spend 50 rand on that. You know, it's you know what? It's not a lot of money in the scheme of things. And then all you say to them is, well, times that by 12, now you've got 600 rand that you're wasting.
How many times have you done that?
And how many times have you done that? So absolutely. So you have to be detailed with that. And I'll tell you why I would like it to be detailed for my clients is that it gives me an idea of where we can make changes if we have to. So there are certain things, certain expenses you can't change. Let's face it. You can't phone up your mobile service provider and say, excuse me, I've decided to reduce my mobile subscription by 10% this month. So but you could do that with your takeaways.
Yeah.
Instead of getting the old, you know, sort of the famous cappuccino a day story, maybe instead of getting your cappuccino from your favorite coffee shop every day, maybe you only get it every third day, you know. Or instead of going out to eat every Wednesday night, go every second or third Wednesday night. So if you've got those expenses written down, you're already halfway to making a difference to your money.
To your budget and your money.
Yeah, so maybe it takes a bit of discipline, just like anything else.
And that would be a way of disciplining your money, wouldn't it?
Correct. That's exactly it. Put it in a corner for a while.
And you, naughty money, you sit and face the wall.
Yes. So exactly. So it does take a bit of pain, and that's why I believe it starts with you as the person. You must understand yourself. And if I can take that a step further, if you've understanding that your money is misbehaving and you want to do something about it, and most of us do, I can promise you it's not easy to do it on your own. So if you're in a household, you may want to say to your partner, to your spouse, you know what, we actually need to work on this together, because very often I find a husband and a wife don't actually know what's going on in each other's money matters. And, you know, they've got their own money children problems. So I think as a family unit, to me, it's critical for success to actually work together. Mm. If you've got adult children, even they need to be brought into the fold. When I say adult children, children that can understand money matters, but even those small children, I'm just thinking of a silly example right now. Everyone's complaining about electricity bills. Mm. We know that electricity costs are high in our country. So maybe you say to the youngsters, listen, when you leave the room, switch the light off. Mm. If you do it five times, I'll give you a sticker, or I'll give you a lollipop or something, just to incentivize them on a short-term basis to actually contribute. And then have that family meeting and say, guys, listen, look what we've done this month.
Yeah.
We've cut our electricity down by 10%, and make a celebration out of it. Yeah.
Which hopefully won't cost you more than the 10% that you're saving on electricity.
I knew you were going to say that. But yeah, so I suppose when your money misbehaves it doesn't mean can't be rectified. It just takes a bit of discipline. And the discipline is literally, if you forget everything what we said this morning, write down your income and your expenses and your assets and your liabilities. Because in 6 months' time, when you go through the disciplinarian course of action, you're going to see the difference in 6 months' time.
And if I may make a suggestion, when it comes to trying to find those holes in your monthly budget and find out where the money is, because you know what your money does?
Yeah.
Is it actually sneaks out at night like a naughty child. but you can catch it and you can put a stop to that, because you keep all your slips.
Correct.
When you go to the supermarkets, you get all those slips and you put them in a shoebox. Mm. And then at the end of the month, you add them up and you look at them and you say, but did we buy that? And wow, did we spend that much on that? Mm. Or now we know that our monthly, or maybe let's look at it the other scenario, is you haven't deliberately, maybe you've now got to that point of starting to discipline your money. Mm. But so you haven't spent on unnecessaries.
Yes.
But now at least you've got something in black and white. You can say, okay, well, now we know exactly where we stand. Mm. Because we haven't been elaborate. We haven't been extravagant. And these are the slips. So this is now reality.
This is reality. And if that is reality, we'll make another plan.
Yeah.
Because there is another plan. Mm. And what I like about your suggestion is, so my family has a box that has got January, February through to December on it. So everyone throws their slips in there. Now, what you've said makes absolute sense, but there's another benefit to that. So if you've got all these credit card slips or debit card slips, you can now go and reconcile that to your bank statement.
Mm, mm.
Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. There are very few people that do that.
Yeah.
But at some point in time, you are going to look at that bank statement and you say, yeah, this debit order, I don't know about this debit order. Where does this come from? And we all know that it happens where some small little debit order creeps into your bank account and you don't realize it. But 6 months down the track, you think, where does this come
from?
So your filing system is and if you're a commission earner or a business owner, you should be doing that, because by not doing that, you're probably going to be losing quite some tax deduction. So let's not go into the tax at this point. But 100%, Wayne, keep the paperwork. You know, they say the job is not done until the paperwork is finished.
Well, it's interesting, and you know, all little simple ways to keep your money disciplined.
And that's what practical finance is all about.
And keeping it practical. And we'll chat again next week, Thursday. If somebody wants to reach you and they've maybe got money that's possibly been to jail a few times.
Nah, let's not go there. But yeah, no, so obviously your first port of call will be your personal financial advisor. But if you don't have one, or you would like to give us a buzz, here's the number and here is the email address. Okay, so the email is info@verso.co.za and the telephone number is 043-727-1340. And now that you've got a pen and paper handy, 043-727-1340 or info@verso.co.za. Until next time, thanks, Wayne.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Thank you very much. And that's today's edition of Practical Finance with Thane. And he'll be back next week, Thursday, just after 8.